Now Monitor brings you Meet the Press, the prize-winning interview program produced by Lawrence E. Spivak. Four of America's top news reporters are ready for this spontaneous and unrehearsed conference. Incidentally, their questions do not necessarily reflect their point of view, but maybe their way of getting a story for us. Now here's the moderator of Meet the Press, Ned Brooks.
Welcome once again to Meet the Press. As the campaign for the presidential nominations enters the final stages, the public opinion polls are attracting more attention than ever before. One of the veterans in poll taking is Dr. George Gallup, who is our guest today. He is the founder and the director of the American Institute of Public Opinion. He has made the Gallup poll a byword to millions here and abroad. This year, Dr. Gallup celebrates the 25th anniversary of the Gallup poll. Over the years, he has won an international reputation for measuring the public's attitude on social, political, and economic issues of the day. Affiliates of his organization are in operation in 23 foreign countries. Dr. Gallup began his career as an educator. He taught journalism and psychology at four leading universities. And now seated around the press table, ready to interview Dr. Gallup, are Richard Wilson of the Coles Publications, Earl Mazo of the New York Herald Tribune, Douglas Allen of Newsweek magazine, and Lawrence E. Spivak, our regular member of the Meet the Press panel. Now, Dr. Gallup, if you're ready, sir, we'll start the questions with Mr. Spivak.
Dr. Gallup, in a speech he recently made in the Senate, Senator Gore said this about public opinion polls and national politics, and I quote, "I think they have an influence which is entirely unjustified and in some instances may be a disservice to the public." Would you give us your comment on that statement of Senator Gore's?
Yes, Mr. Spivak. I think it has never been established that polls have any influence on the public or on the congressman, on the legislator. So I couldn't agree with even the premise that we have that kind of an influence.
Well, do you believe that your polls serve a useful public purpose?
Absolutely. I'm absolutely convinced of that. After 25 years of polling the American people on every conceivable issue, I'm convinced that they are one of the most useful instruments of democracy that's been devised yet.
Well, you say they have no influence on candidates or on votes. Well, what influence do they have? I mean, why are they a useful device then?
Well, they're useful because they give congressmen an accurate, timely appraisal of public opinion. They let them know honestly and objectively what the people think. I think they give the leaders of the country the courage frequently to take the steps that need to be taken.
Well, you think they don't exert an important influence? How do you explain what happened, for example, in the case of Governor Rockefeller, who, because of what the poll showed him, decided to give up the race?
Well, I think there's a great tendency to believe that the polls, which merely measure public opinion, as I said earlier, influence public opinion. As a matter of fact, we have no more effect upon the state of opinion than a thermometer has on the weather. The thermometer may register hot, but it isn't the thermometer that makes the weather hot.
Well, you don't think that a man who stuck a wrong thermometer in his mouth and found that it was pretty high wouldn't send for a doctor? You think it had no influence on him at all?
I think that Mr. Rockefeller himself checked up on the polls. He made a trip across the country, and it's my opinion, and merely a personal opinion, that he probably came to the same conclusion.
Mr. Allen.
Well, Dr. Gallup, sticking just to the presidential polls for the moment, you say that your polls in general are beneficial because they show congressmen how people are thinking. What is the benefit of showing people how they are thinking?
Well, I think that's an important and legitimate part of the news. I think in a democracy, I think it's important to know what the people think and to let other people know what the people think.
And you don't think this creates any bandwagon or herd
psychology? No, there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever. There's no theoretical evidence. There's no practical evidence. Newsweek itself questioned politicians, and they said there was no bandwagon effect.
Yet there was a lot of talk earlier this year that the Republican convention might dump Vice President Nixon if the polls showed that he couldn't win. And this was long before he'd started campaigning.
Well, that I can't vouch for. I'm sorry.
Mr. Mazel.
Just on that same line, you don't think, Dr. Gallup, that the fact that the polls showed that General Eisenhower would run much better than Senator Taft caused the Republican convention, which perhaps made up of professionals who perhaps might have preferred Taft, to nominate Eisenhower?
I'm not sure. I can't say for certain, but certainly the primaries, which in a general way served the same function of letting the delegates know the will of the people, as I recall, Mr. Eisenhower did very well in the primaries.
Well, so did Taft in some primaries. I just wonder, too, why are so many politicians now spending such a vast sum of money on private polls that they have no effect?
Well, they do have an effect in helping the candidates direct his own campaign more intelligently. Politicians, and I refer to the candidates for the presidential office, are merely using the techniques and procedures that have been used in the business world for these many years.
Dr. Gallup, earlier this week, Paul Butler, the Democratic National Chairman, implied at or very strongly implied at a National Press Club affair that Senator Kennedy, having come along this far, that if he is not nominated and the Catholic people of the Catholic faith in America believe that's because of his religion, that the Catholics will not vote Democratic. What do your figures, your polls on that score show you?
We haven't polled on that, Mr. Mazel. Well,
not on religion or anything like that?
Oh, yes, we poll on the choice of Catholics, but what their reaction would be if Mr. Kennedy weren't nominated is something I could.
What does the religious thing? What do your religious figures show you then, sir?
What does it show exactly what you might expect, and that is that a good many Catholics, Republicans who are Catholics, have gone over to, at this time at least, and are supporting Mr. Kennedy.
Mr. Wilson.
Dr. Gallup, leaving aside for the moment the question of whether the polls are good or bad, a great many people have the impression that the polls may be, I won't use the word rigged, but that polls may be juggled or weighted in some way or another according to the prejudice of the person who is in charge of taking the poll. Do you weight your results? Give weight to one factor that you do not to another, so that the results do not turn out to be quite the same as the numerical results of the poll?
If I understand your question, if you are asking whether or not we adjust or weight to suit our fancy, well, then I'd say that's absolutely wrong. In every poll, you have certain correction factors that are built right into the design of the sample. The purpose being to see that every group, every segment of the voting population is properly represented. Well, but it would be inconceivable for anyone running a scientific poll just to toss figures back and forth.
Well, that brings me to this question. Since the margin of error is so narrow in a poll, I think you would probably concede that there might be a margin of error of 1 or perhaps 2, nearly 2%. that any little adjustment you might make according to what you think the scientific factors involved are might change the entire result of the poll.
Well, Mr. Wilson, we live by our accuracy. We have to be, we use every method, every procedure that we know that will bring accuracy in that final prediction. And the best way to judge that is simply to go back and look at the record particularly since 1948.
Yes, well, why were you wrong in 1948? I'm not accusing you of being alone in that regard.
Well, I would say, looking back at 1948, we were wrong because of inexperience, a certain element of stupidity, perhaps, but more particularly the fact that we did not poll up to the very election day or to a couple of days before. Most of our balloting was done 2 weeks before, and there was a change of sentiment in those last 10 days, 2 weeks.
In other words, the American public is pretty fickle when it gets back down to the last week.
The election
might go either way.
Exactly.
Dr. Gallup, what allowance do you have to make for people who answer your questions one way and then do the opposite when they get into the voting booth? I'm sure you've had that experience.
That undoubtedly happens, but the law of averages obviously takes care of that. In other words, it's impossible to predict what any one person will do in the privacy of the ballot booth. But you can predict with great accuracy what a great many people will do. Some will go one way, some the other. Of course, the whole business is based upon the law of averages.
Mr. Spivak.
Dr. Gallup, based upon the facts your polls have assembled, can you tell us who is most likely to be the Democratic nominee for president?
I can only report, Mr. Spivak, what the polls show at this time. What they show is that Mr. Kennedy has a fairly big lead over the other candidates amongst the rank and file of the Democratic Party. Now, we do poll Democratic county chairmen, who are, in a sense, the grassroots pros of the party, and they also put Mr. Kennedy first.
What about delegates? Do you poll delegates?
No, we do not poll the delegates.
Well, why don't you poll delegates, since they're the ones who really are going to determine this thing?
Well, that's a good question, and some people do poll delegates. We just don't happen to.
Is there any special reason why you don't?
No, I would say there's no special reason.
Dr. Gallup, your polls have been wrong in the past, not merely 48, but I think they've been wrong percentage-wise. I think they were wrong in 52, as I remember it. They were quite a bit off in the percentage that you predicted for President Eisenhower against Stevenson, or was it 56? But one of those years, you were quite a bit off. They've been wrong in the past. What are the chances of their being wrong again in this election?
Well, let me correct one statement. We were on the right side in 1952. We were 4 percentage points off the mark. In the last three elections, 1958, 1956, and 1954, our average error has been only about 1 percentage point. Now,
You say, may I stop you a minute? You say you were 4% off. Senator Gore says that your error in 52 was closer to 9%.
No, he's talking in terms of percents.
Yes.
We're talking in terms of percentage points.
Yes.
We're using the method which the standard statistical method of determining error, which is by percentage points.
Well, now, on the presidential polls themselves, not on the pre-convention, but the presidential polls,
yes,
do you think that you can get a very accurate idea of who is likely to win the election by polling majorities rather than polling states, since that is the way this thing is determined? In short, it's the state majority and the electoral vote that a man,
yes,
gets that determines it. Why don't you poll the states in order to get a really accurate idea?
Well, until the 1948 election and through the 1948 election, We did poll state by state. We found in the new methods which we have developed and introduced since 1948 that we can achieve a higher degree of accuracy on the popular vote, and that's what we try to predict on the popular vote, by polling by sections of the country rather than by states.
One question. You take, I think your polls range, you take a sample of about 1,500 to 3,000 in a population of 179 million and a voting population of over 60 million. What number, for example, would you poll in New York State?
We would poll roughly 10% of that. If the sample were based on 1.5 million, then not more than 150, I would say offhand, would be allocated to New York State. But, of course, we would not under any circumstance report a figure for New York State on the basis of 150.
But you think it gets washed out in what New York State does, California is likely to do,
and you're doing the whole
Illinois
section.
Is likely to do?
That's right. And may I remind you that the biggest polling agency in America today is the Bureau of the Census. It's monthly population sample. And I figured out the other day, and they project figures on unemployment, the number of people who get newspapers delivered to their front door, and all, on a basis of 35,000, but they also break this down by much smaller units than we do.
And they also finally go to the whole population, don't they?
They finally go to the whole population, but this, they can project those figures.
Mr. Allen.
Dr. Gallup, along the lines of what Mr. Spivak was asking, why is it that you don't say in your published newspaper releases what the sample is, that your standard sample is 1,500.
We do, and if you will notice that a good many of our releases carry a standard box in which that is reported. We don't report it in every story. We report it in all the literature that goes to the newspapers.
I know you do in the literature to the newspapers, but I wondered if you thought that the average reader would have as much faith in it as he seems to if he knew that the sample was only 1,500.
Well, I think he would if we published the record along with it, but then you get into something that is pretty long and which newspapers simply don't want to take the space to print. If you had the two things, I think would be fine. If you could print the sample and then the record, then that would be a real service to the readers.
Now, since you discovered in 1948 that it was necessary to poll right up to the final wire to get an accurate result, there seems to be no way of telling in May if they'll love him in November. What is the value of a poll in May?
Its value, I think, is to report sentiment as of that time. I think it's important to the people who are interested in politics. It's important to the people of the country. It has a rather great historical value to know that in May they loved this candidate when they didn't love him in November.
Mr. Mazel.
Dr. Gallup, in addition to polling on whether or not somebody's going to vote for somebody, you, as I understand it, poll on public image, on the man's appeal. That's right.
That's right, yes.
Could you tell us what, as of today, you find to be the public image of the major candidates, Mr. Nixon, Mr. Kennedy, Mr. Stevenson, and so forth?
Well, that would be take a long time, Mr. Mazel.
Could you do it briefly?
It's to do a proper study on the image requires a whole release in itself. There's no way to categorize or to characterize these candidates by just a few words.
Could you say as to the majority whether it's favorable or unfavorable?
Well, I think it's favorable, but it's favorable by certain groups. I think you have, obviously, Republicans have a different image of Mr. Nixon than Democrats do, and they, of course, would hold for Mr. Stevenson or Mr. Kennedy. So it's almost impossible to report that without reporting it by the many different groups that make up the...
Well, do you find that the people on this business of name familiarity, you know, people knowing
yes.
who people are, do you find that all of the major candidates are now well known in America?
No, I shouldn't say all of them.
The top ones are
Kennedy, Nixon, of course, Stevenson. They're better known than Johnson and Symington, although both of the latter are coming up very fast because of all of the publicity in the press about them and magazine.
Mr. Wilson.
Dr. Gallup, you poll people on a great many different questions and issues. You ought to have a pretty good idea of what the mood of the country is today. Is there such a overwhelming Democratic trend in the country that it'll be difficult for any Republican candidate to overcome it?
No, not at all. I think that as of the present time, the forces are pretty evenly balanced. The Democratic Party, obviously, is the majority party in the United States. But as in the case of Mr. Eisenhower, the people elected a Democratic Congress while giving him a very substantial majority.
I noticed
people have begun to vote more and more for candidates as opposed to parties.
Right. I noticed in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, that Vice President Nixon in the primary there got 15,000 in that neighborhood, 14,000 perhaps, Democratic write-in votes. Perhaps I don't have my figures quite right. That may be for the entire state of Pennsylvania. In any event, it was rather an impressive figure. Do you find in your surveys that there is Democratic support for Nixon?
Yes, there is some. Obviously, there's some switching, but not to the same extent, certainly, as in the case of Eisenhower.
Well, is it so small that Nixon would have to really cause a big overturn in order to get enough Democratic votes added to his Republican minority
yes.
to win the election?
Yes,
it'll
exactly.
have to be a big
That's
turnover.
His problem. He has to run far ahead of his party. The Democratic Party is, as I said, the majority party. It has a wide margin over the Republican Party. And the only way a Republican get elected at this point in history is to pull a good many Democratics, split off a good many Democratic votes, and to take the majority of the independent vote.
But there's nothing, as I gather from you in your surveys, which indicate that there is this Democratic swing to Nixon that would be necessary for his election.
Well, if you look at our most recent poll, it showed Nixon in a race, a trial heat race with Kennedy running about even. As a matter of fact, it was, as I recall, 51% Nixon and 49% Kennedy.
Dr. Gallup,
Mr. Spivak.
You've said that in most elections, the independents hold the balance of power. Do you think this is going to be true in this election that's coming up?
Almost certainly, you see, because neither party has enough voters to elect its man. There are about 22% of all voters are independent voters. And if you took the number who switch from one party to another, that percentage would be even larger. So today, a man must have the independent vote to win.
Most people have come to believe that the independent vote is essentially an intelligent vote that is made up of highly intelligent people who think hard on whom they're going to vote for. Is that true in your judgment, or is the independent vote an indecisive vote, what they call a switch vote, one that cannot make its mind up?
Well, it's more likely the latter, Mr. Spivak. The independent voters are mostly the voters who are in between. The people can't quite make up their minds whether they're Republicans or Democrats. Very few of them represent this intelligent group that you described.
Mr. Mazo.
Dr. Gallup, could you tell us one or two questions. A lot of people like to find out whether their friends are Democrats or Republicans or how they're going to vote. Can you give us one or two questions we could ask our friends and to find out without asking them directly whether they're going to vote Democratic or Republican?
Yes, you can. You can ask what they think of the candidates. You can ask what they think is the most important issue before the country today, and then ask them which party they think can handle that problem best. There are two or three different ways of finding out how people are going to vote without ever asking them directly for which candidate, though.
Mr. Wilson.
Dr. Gallup, has the recent turn in international affairs hurt or helped the Republican prospect?
Well, up to this point, it's helped the Republicans. The most recent development, the Japanese treaty, the riots there, will do remains to be seen. We're polling right now on that.
On the basis of your surveys, if Nixon and Kennedy were the nominees, who would be elected today?
Well, I would say it would be a photo finish right today.
Somebody's got to win.
Mr. Allen.
Dr. Gallup, in your long experience, I know you never would have succumbed to it, but has anyone ever tried to influence a poll through payola, or perhaps you'd call it paypola?
No, never in the history. As a matter of fact, not any newspaper has ever changed the results of our polls to suit their own fancy.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry to have to interrupt, but I see that our time is up.
And Monitor says thanks to Dr. George Gallup, leading member of the public poll fraternity, and to the members of the panel for a stimulating and enlightening half hour. Our panelists were Richard Wilson of the Coles Publication, Earl Mazur of the New York Herald Tribune, Douglas Allen of Newsweek magazine, and the producer of Meet the Press, Lawrence Spivak.